picks off the pass.
Kemp is down. Brad immediately calls timeout.
Yep.
Kemp went right to the floor.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be all over this when we get back. 36-30, 6-point game.
Welcome to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free Form Radio. That clip you just heard was courtesy of Mike Gorman and Brian Scalabrine last night on NBC Sports Boston, as Kemba Walker had a massive scare during the game last night against the Denver Nuggets, in which he appeared to initially have injured his vertebrae in his neck. And as it turned out, it wasn't such, but he had to be carted off the court on a stretcher. So we're going to start off the show talking about the injury, and as well as the Celtics, as they have completed their 5-game road trip. We normally start off talking about the Patriots and whatnot, but last night's injury warrants that we got to talk about the Celtics to start the show. And as always, you can call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. So I want to say thank you to everyone who tuned in, listening to the show live, and as well as, staying in touch via social media and whatnot on the show. And thank you for listening wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your Saturday evening. And this is the last show before Thanksgiving. So I just want to send a very quick special shout out before we get into the Celtics and so forth, to everyone who has listened to this show from the beginning, July 6th, 2019, first ever edition of the Shukri Wright Show, all the way until now. And it was without you, and without your feedback, this couldn't be possible. So it's always, always, always greatly appreciated that I get to do the show on a weekly basis, and as well. And I want to start off by saying thank you to WMFO, the high powers that be, the program director, general manager, who has afforded me this opportunity to pursue my dream, and that is to host my own sports talk radio show. And that's something that I'm grateful for every day, but especially with Thanksgiving being 5 days away, it's befitting that that I just wanted to take a quick moment to reflect on what has been so far been a life-changing journey through these last nearly 5 months of doing this show. So with that being said, thank you to the listener, and as well as the program director, general manager, and assistant program director of this station, for allowing me to do this show on a weekly basis, is greatly appreciated. Thank you to all of you. Now, Kemba Walker, he has been a massive difference maker for the Boston Celtics in 2019-2020. He has. And last night, for those who did not hear, it was Friday night, people have plans and so forth. I was actually out in Newton watching the game live when this happened, and it was scary. Because what happened was Kemba Walker was defending as the Nuggets were coming up the court, trying to set up an offensive play. And he had inadvertently ran into the midsection of the Celtics' Semi Ojeleye. And this is a clip, again, courtesy of NBC Sports Boston. Mike Gorman with the call as he tries to describe what was a very scary situation in Denver last night.
Curry going hard to the hoop. Walker picks off the pass.
Kemp is down. Brad immediately calls timeout.
Yep.
Kemp went right to the floor.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be all over this when we get back. 36-30, 6-point game. Yeah, still, Kemba Walker has not moved a whole lot. We're going to try to take a look here and see exactly what happened. It's our first time looking at this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he ran into Ojeley.
With his head down. This is not like concussion. This is neck.
Yep.
Oh, yep. No. Oh, man, that's tough.
That was Mike Gorman and Brian Scalabrine with the call last night on NBC Sports Boston. As you heard both gentlemen describe it, he went in neck first directly into the midsection inadvertently as he tried to go after a loose ball and ended up going right into the midsection of Ojeley. And he was down for about 8 minutes, nearly 10 minutes on the court, and he had to be taken off on a stretcher. From all reports from late last night and as of this morning, even as of this hour, he has been released from the hospital after he was taken at halftime on an ambulance. As Brad Stevens says, that he did see Kemba Walker be taken into the ambulance just at halftime and so forth. And as we know now, Walker was released from the hospital and he's cleared to travel with the team back home to Boston tomorrow, as the Celtics officially wrapped up their 5-game Western Conference road swing last night in Denver. Although they were down by as much as 19 points in the game, they did come all the way back to make it a 4-point game at one point. But ultimately, the Nuggets were able to pull away and win that one, as Celtics unfortunately lost 3 of the 5 games on the road trip. But it's not so much the record that has me feeling good about this team. A bit optimistic. Number one, Kemba Walker's injury, thank goodness it wasn't a spinal injury. What we do know right now is that injury is more of a concussion. As we know, with concussion-like symptoms, he'll be reevaluated when he returns back to Boston tomorrow. And second, we know that this team, and we've seen it repeatedly on this road trip, this team may be down and out, but they don't give up. And one thing that has really stood out to me about the Celtics so far and why the injury was so concerning is that when you look at this team, Kemba Walker, when he came in, was a big factor as to why the Celtics has gotten off to such an impressive start so far through the first 15 games of the season. We can go up and down and look at the numbers, but I don't think rambling off numbers would do much justice. Unless if you have had the opportunity to watch the games. And one thing that I will say is this. Kemba Walker, he's more than just the player. He's more than just the player that came and signed with the team so far. He's averaged 21 points per game and so forth. He's more than just that. It's the culture that he's helped instill after the drama and the toxicity that existed in the Celtics locker room last season. And he's been a big part of that change. And you saw how this team responded after he went down. And Marcus Smart said it best after the game. We wanted to go back out there and play for him and battle for him. And that tells you something. Well, what does that tell me? That tells me that this team has heart. And it's something that you didn't see much of last year. And the thing that I find that's truly remarkable about this is that, again, it's not so much the end result, but watch how this team battled back. They were down 19. They're pulled within one possession late in the fourth quarter inside of a minute remaining. However, the Nuggets ended up pulling away what a clutch jumper that made a two possession game in which the Celtics were not able to overcome in the final minute. So as it stands right now, they are without both Gordon Hayward and Kemba Walker as of right now. So the question becomes, what do the Celtics do? Because that's 40% of your offense, arguably. There's no disrespect to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, whom they both have had outstanding starts to their season so far. Brown averaging more than 18 points per game. Jason Tatum averaging just a tick under 21 points per game, a 20 and a half. And as well as when you get into the defensive effort from guys like Marcus Smart, for example, Grant Williams, we come off the bench, Robert Williams, even when he, whatever that he's able to contribute as well, and so forth, especially on the rebounding side of things, they're able to put it all, bring whatever they have to the table and be able to show what they're capable of. But it is a hit losing Kemba Walker, and you're still without Gordon Hayward as well. So now it's going to become imperative for guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to really step up offensively. No questions about it. Especially if Kemba Walker is in fact going to miss time. But it's something that I'm going to be really interested to see how does this team respond. We won't find out until when they return home on Monday night. They have a home game against the Sacramento Kings at 7:30 at the Garden. We shall see. But in the interim, what we saw last night was a team that has begun to show there's something very special brewing with the Celtics team this season. It was more evident last night than it ever has at any point this season so far as we begin to approach Thanksgiving. And there's one thing that I also want to point out is this. If you're the Celtics at this point, what's your number one concern? Apart from Kemba Walker. It's a fair question. But the fact of the matter is, they still have a hole in the middle of the court, especially at the center position. They do. And what it remains to be seen what they do, the Celtics, do in terms of addressing that issue. Because let's face it, right now, they are one of the top teams in the NBA, record-wise. And if there is a flaw that they have and is at the center position, and Conter, who I'm a big fan of, but let's face it, he's a defensive liability, whether if he's playing strong forward or even at the center. So I don't think you can sit here and tell me that you can rely on in his Conter to be that guy that's going to plug in that big flaw for the Celtics team as it currently stands. I have a hard time believing that. I just do. So, we'll see what happens, especially over the next few weeks, how the Celtics plan to address that issue moving forward. Now, I want to shift gears. Because it was something that was brought up yesterday, and I think it's absolutely worth discussing. It's been a while since we talked about the Boston Red Sox. It's been a while. And I think it's befitting now that we talk about them in some sorts. And why is that? Because remember a few weeks back, I mean, let's go back to October. Actually, it's more than a few weeks back, a little more than a month ago. I talked about the Red Sox and what they needed to do. And Now with the hot stove season officially underway, I think it's now time that we begin to have some sort of idea as to what is going on with one Chris Sale. Chris Sale? Yeah. The ace Chris Sale that went down in the middle of August with the elbow injury? Yeah, that Chris Sale. We haven't heard anything, not a peep, from the Red Sox brass in regarding to Chris Sale up to this point. We haven't. Don't you think it's a bit strange? I do. They said at that time, they'll give us an update in about 6 weeks. This was August, 13th? When the injury took place? Tick, 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 tick. 3 months. And what do we have? Anybody want to tell me? Call into the show. 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. We don't have an answer. Zero. No one has any clue as to what's the latest, what's going on with Chris Sale, and what's his status going to be moving forward. Is he going to need surgery? But the one thing that we do know is this, is that early on, they did say that they were going to try rest and rehab and see how the elbow responds. Still haven't heard anything. Nada. Nothing. So now, which begs me to ask the question. If the Red Sox, who are looking to shred payroll, looking to trade Chris Sale, do you think, by any stretch of the imagination, they would need to make some sort of decision in terms of what they're going to do with them moving forward? I want you to really think about this for a moment, and I'm serious. I want to make some important points here. Number one, I've said it on this show in August that this injury is concerning long term because you don't know whether you will get the same Chris Sale back, especially given that you had just signed him this past March, foolishly, to that 5-year, $145 million contract. You signed him to that deal before you really get a glimpse as to can he pitch a full season healthy. And right now, it's coming back to bite you in the tail. It is. And right now, Red Sox Nation, and here we are 5 days away from Thanksgiving. We still haven't heard an answer. And especially from the new general manager, Chaim Bloom. You still haven't heard a peep from Red Sox ownership as to what is going on with Chris Sale. Nothing. So right now, it's all speculation. It's all a guessing game as to how's his elbow. What's his status going to be in terms of the offseason? How is he approaching the offseason? No one knows. And I got to ask you, if you're a Red Sox fan, does this concern you? Especially when he's looked at and he's supposed to be looked at as your ace. It would concern me. And let's face it, I understand that you have David Price. I get it. I understand that Eduardo Rodriguez is coming off a career year. I get it. But if you were to tell me that you're going to go into 2020, let's say hypothetically, that Chris Sale is on the shelf and your number two guys are Price and Eduardo Rodriguez, You're kind of going into the new season in rough shape, especially when you have a ton of question marks and you're back into your rotation. Now, The hot stove season is a bit early. It's early. It's early. It's only a couple of weeks in. And I mentioned the hot stove because why? Because there already was one big splash already made. And now it's by the Chicago White Sox, who signed catcher Yasmani Grandal to a four-year, $73 million contract. That's why. So that got me thinking, If that, in fact, is the first big splash off the offseason in Major League Baseball, what is the Red Sox doing? What are their plans? And I'm not saying we need an answer tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying. However, what I am saying is we're approaching December 1st, and that's next Sunday. It's time that we begin to have some sort of answer. It's time. And we're sitting here with more questions than answers if you're the Boston Red Sox. And I can't believe, honestly speaking, I can't believe that no one has had any type of inkling of a desire to ask about, what's up with Chris Sale? No one's asked, from what I've been able to read on Twitter and as well as social media. No one. Something to think about, Red Sox Nation. Now, I want to talk about the Patriots for the final few minutes that we have before we got to shift over into NHL primetime, powered by the Strictly Right Show, beginning around 5:30, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Free Form Radio. The Patriots, they got a big game tomorrow against the Dallas Cowboys. They're now officially in the grinder of the schedule. It started last week in a big win, a big come-from-behind win against the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia. Now, they're home against the NFC East leading Dallas Cowboys. And they have question marks already going into the game. But one particular question mark that has me a little alarmed is one Tom Brady. And if you haven't heard, Brady appeared on the injury report as questionable for tomorrow's game with the elbow injury. Yeah. He's questionable. But by all indications and all reports coming from the Patriots camp, he's expected to play. So that's definitely something that I am going to be keeping a very close eye for, especially over the next 23 hours or so. But it's definitely something that I am definitely concerned about. Now, normally, Brady is not one that has been susceptible to injuries or has missed significant time of play, with the exception of 2008 when he suffered a torn ACL in the opening game of the 2008 season and the 2001 AFC title game when he got injured. Now, seeing this, of course, your first thought is going to be, uh-oh, he's 42 years old. His elbow's giving him trouble? What's up? What's going on? Oh, nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to see here. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. But considering that he has been very sultry, I think sultry is probably the right word to use to describe Brady's attitude when it comes to this lackluster offense that's plagued the Patriots in the first half of the season so far. Now his elbow is troubling him. But on the good news side, remember that issue that the offensive line has had throughout the season? What do you mean? You may remember one Isaiah Wynn. Well, he's coming back tomorrow to protect Brady's blind side, which is something that they haven't had in the last, what, 4 or 5 weeks now? Yeah. And Dante Scarnecchia, the offensive line coach for the Patriots, was pretty excited when asked about the return of Isaiah Wynn. And who could blame them? Who could blame them? Considering the fact that Brady has struggled with terms of time, being able to complete his passes to his receivers and so forth, you would think that his return would be a welcome one, and it is. Especially against a pass rush of the Cowboys that can create problems up front. Especially if the blind side of Brady was to be left exposed. And that's just something that I'm looking forward to seeing as to how does Isaiah Wynn's return impact the offensive line for the Patriots. Plus, another one that also intrigues me is you have the number one defense in the NFL in New England going up against the number one offense in the NFL in Dallas. So the question is, what's going to give? How will the front seven do in containing Ezekiel Elliott? How will the secondary fare against Dak Prescott? Those questions are questions that we can talk about, but you got to call into the show. 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. We're going to step aside for just a few. Coming up next, we have NHL primetime, and we got a lot to talk about hockey-wise. Both the Boston Bruins and the National Hockey League, as it's been some kind of week. I tell you, crazy. Can't wait to get into it in just a couple of moments. But first, you're listening to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts, Freeform Radio. Welcome to NHL Prime Time, presented by the Shook Me Right Show. That was Journey, Don't Stop Believing, the previous song, this current song playing in the background, as we segue our way into NHL Prime Time, talking Boston Bruins and all things NHL hockey on the Shook Me Right Show. This is Shook Me Right. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. The song that's playing in the background is called Link by Jim Youssef. It's in a dance genre, which was released in 2017. Personal favorite song of mine, by the way. A little different from the customary theme song we usually will play by mine's yours truly, but decided to do something a little different today. You know, break away from the norm, but not break away from the consistency that has been thus far. So in about 10 seconds, we are going to talk about the Bruins and the week that's been so far around the NHL. Welcome back to the Shook Me Right Show. This is Shook Me Right. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free Farm Radio. As part of station requirements, I'm going to play a 60-second PSA. This is brought to you by 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. So we'll be back in about 60 seconds. So stay tuned.
Why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Having trouble finding Connor's middle school? Would you like directions?
No, why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Finding lowest airfare to Istanbul.
No, I'm tired of fighting with him over homework.
Home, walk, restaurant. Need a review?
No, I need help. He's very smart, but his mind wanders. He's disorganized.
I think I understand.
Oh, good.
Finding best potatoes for French fries.
No!
Russet, fingerling, Yukon gold.
Why don't you understand me?
Sorry, I was trying to show how Connor feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
And now we're back. Welcome back to the Shook Me Right Show, NHL Prime Time. And the Boston Bruins, they have a game tonight at the TD Garden to take on the Minnesota Wild at 7 o'clock. A game you can watch on NESN as they continue their march towards the unofficial quarter pole of the NHL season, which, by the way, the official one already passed. But Thanksgiving is usually the first poll of the NHL season in which that you have an actual gauge as to where your team is. How is your hockey team doing? In this case, the Boston Bruins. Now, I got to tell you, I want to start off by saying this. When the season started, I did not expect the Boston Bruins to be in the position that they're in now. Not at all. And we talked about it, especially during the summer. We talked about it in September, leading into the regular season. And we talked about it when the season began. We talked about how the Boston Bruins, they're still dealing with some lingering injuries coming from their long run to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals this past June. We talked about how there are going to be questions in regards to hitting that proverbial wall. Were they going to look okay to start the season? Or were they going to break down early, start slow, and then pick up the pace and the steam as the season progresses. And so far, the answer has been the Bruins have played exceptionally well. They have. With the exception of that four-game losing streak that they went through and so forth, amazingly enough right now, they are, right now, as it currently stands, they're third in the league. And by the way, they're in a three-way tie in terms of points in second place between three teams. That's the Islanders and the St. Louis Blues. All three teams entering tonight's action, they're tied up at 33. The Washington Capitals right now, they're number one in the league right now with 37 points so far this season. But as for the Boston Bruins, I got to ask you this. What is it that you're most surprised about in regards to the start that the Bruins have gotten off to through the first 22 games? 14-3-5, that's their record. Is it the fact that David Pastrnak has scored 20 goals in 22 games thus far this season? Has it been the goaltending tandem between Tuukka Rask and Yaroslav Halak? Or has it been the fact that they have gotten contributions from their defensemen up to this point? Zdeno Chara having a tremendous season so far. Charlie McAvoy having a solid season so far. Tuukka Rask, his value can never be understated, especially on the power play. And not to mention that Matt Grzelcyk seemingly has taken another step forward this year. So there's a lot to like in regards to what you've seen from the Boston Bruins so far. Entering tonight's game against the Minnesota Wild, that's 7 o'clock puck drop on Nesson at the Garden tonight. And with Thanksgiving just 5 days away, I think it's time that we have an opportunity to just pause and appreciate what this team has done. It's only fair. And here's the thing that's also impressive about this team so far. They have not had a regulation loss at home so far this season. Their home record is 8-0-4. They've been good on the road. They're 6-3-1 away from the Garden. But at home, they haven't lost in regulation just yet. And you want to know what's interesting? They're the only team in the league that has yet to have lost a regulation game at home. Yeah. How do you like that? So, you gotta think that, you know, despite the fact that even during their losing streak, they were losing some real tough ones in the shootout. Yet, when they've turned it on, they've really turned it on. And the thing that impresses me is this. The Bruins right now, they lead the NHL in goal differential at plus 22. Impressive? You bet. And that goes to tell you this. Of course, with the Pastrnak start, and right now, you gotta tell me that he has to be at least in the conversation for the Hart Trophy. That's the NHL MVP award. That he has done as much or has been as critical to the Bruins offense as any player has this season. When you consider that Bergeron has missed time with the nagging groin injury, stemming from last season, as a matter of fact, plus Brad Marchand continuing to produce at the elite level that we've come to become accustomed to. So, my question to you is this. If you're Bruce Cassidy, and you look at this team, especially, by the way, especially considering, look at the next three games that they have. They got tonight against the Wild, as we mentioned, at 7. And then they also got the Montreal Canadiens in Montreal on Tuesday night. And final game before Thanksgiving in Ottawa on Wednesday night. So they have a back-to-back in Canada before Thanksgiving on Thursday. So they got the Wild, they got the Canadiens, and they got the Senators. You look at these three games coming up for the Bruins, you got to think, hey, if this team continues to get offensive production and David Pastrnak continues to roll the way that he has been rolling so far, plus, let's not forget David Krejci now as being one of the more underrated and underappreciated second-line centermen there is in the game, he has done a tremendous job so far this season. If this team continues to play at the level at which that they've played so far here in the 2019-2020 season, you got to like their chances, especially as we rapidly approach the month of December, which starts a week from tomorrow. Can you believe that? I sure can't. And I got to tell you, if there's one thing that I've learned about watching this team the past week, is that Tuukka Rask has at times stepped up huge. He stepped up huge during this stretch. And you gotta admit, whether you like the man or not, let's face it, he's done a tremendous job in terms of giving the Bruins a chance to win every night, where he's second in the league in goals against average, 2.05, fourth in save percentage at 0.931. And you have instances like Thursday night where, wow, you want to talk about a potential save of the year? No, it has to be one of the top two or three candidates for save of the year. In this clip, it's courtesy of Jack Edwards and Andy Brickley on Nesson. It will explain to you everything that you needed to know about this save that took place against the Buffalo Sabres in the third period of Thursday night's game and their win against the Sabres.
Mittelstadt. Now off Skinner's stick. Rodriguez to Montour, distributes to Mittelstadt. High slot. Skinner the redirection. What a save by Rask! On his belly, he tries to squeeze the knees. Evan Rodriguez denied by the goal.
You can see him squeezing his hand right there because I think he has the blocker turned the other way and somehow he's going to get it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. He paid for it. Might as well use it.
I mean, even watching that clip again and again and again and listening to that clip again just now, it's still absolutely remarkable how Rask was able to make that save. But, of course, unfortunate reality is that when you are involved with the Bruins fan base, as much as I am, as well as a passionate Bruins fan that I am myself, not a homer by any stretch of the imagination, but a pretty passionate follower of the team, you have the critics that are like, well, where was this in the Stanley Cup Finals? Bleh. Really? This is something that I addressed, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday on my social media, and And they really got me upset, and they got me thinking. Why is it that we cannot appreciate a good thing when we have it, instead of waiting until after it's gone? Bruin fans, you do realize that we have been one of the very few teams that have been very fortunate to have had stability and net in the last 13 to 15 seasons. We've only had two starting goaltenders that have been a constant for the Bruins. That's Tim Thomas and Tuukka Rask, going all the way back to 2006. Come on now. It's absurd that even when you see tremendous saves and a spectacular save that Tuukka Rask made in that game Thursday night, you still have those that are, where was this in game seven? He should do this more often in the playoffs. Bleh! Like, it really, really gets me upset. Gosh. Enjoy the moment. And what if he or Halak makes another save similar to that? What are you going to say then? Where was this in the postseason? Listen, enjoy the moment. Enjoy what we have in front of us. We have a lot of season left. This team has only played 22 games. Tonight's game will be the 23rd. And after tonight, this team has got 59 games remaining. That's a lot of hockey. We haven't even gotten into the dog days of February and March. We're still a bit away from that. So, gear up, Bruins fans. Gear up. We got a long winter ahead. And if this is the attitude that a lot of you want to carry on social media, then I got bad news for you. Then you're not much of a true fan as much as you think you are. That and or you don't like seeing your team succeed as much as you'd like to claim or think. And I'll leave it at that. There's a couple of notes I want to talk about from across the NHL that took place this past week. One of them being Mike Babcock shown the door. How do you like that? Wow. And a surprising yet shocking timing of the event, the Toronto Maple Leafs decided to fire their head coach, Mike Babcock, after a lackluster performance. Oh, man. I really can't believe that the Maple Leafs, as talented as they are, unbelievable. Unbelievable. They fired him, I believe today, it was 3 days ago. That was Wednesday. And what makes it worse is this. So that's going to be interesting to watch. And the Flames are arguably, and I do mean arguably, the biggest disappointment in the West. You talk about this for a moment before we wrap up the show. For a team that was expected to contend for a playoff spot, they have floundered. And I really cannot believe that there is even talks of considering trading Johnny Gaudreau or even the idea of it. Consider this. Number one, he is not a high percentage shooter. He gives you a great deal of offense. And that I really do think that a lot of it comes from the fact that, listen, he's a guy who could pass the puck, but he has the ability to get pucks on net. And on top of that, when you look at the fact that he also plays alongside Sean Manahan, tells you that they should be doing a lot more than what they're doing now offensively. But the goaltending, oh man, the goaltending has been absolutely frustrating. And if they continue to struggle, and I got to ask you this. What are they going to do in regards to guys like Michael Frolik and Travis Habenick? Do you think that the Flames will use them as trade bait? But I just can't see them trading away Johnny Gaudreau. I just can't. And everything that I'm reading out of Calgary is stating that right now, Bill Peters, their head coach, his job is not in jeopardy. So how long that remains that way remains to be seen. That I do know. But when you look at Toronto's situation, and I don't want to compare apples to apples here, you can't help but wonder, listen, just last season, this team is arguably actually one of the top two or three teams in the West. And here we are, about a week away from December, and they are nowhere where they thought they'd be. Nowhere. Why? I don't know. There's a multitude of factors here, but that's something that we can get into next week on the Strictly Right Show. And I want to thank everybody for tuning into the Strictly Right Show today. Tremendous show. Final show before Thanksgiving. And I want to say thank you to everyone who tuned in today, who make the show fun, who hit me up on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter, by the way, at SWWright915. That's the show Twitter page. You can follow me on my main Twitter page, at Shukri Wright. That's at SHUKRIWRIGHTS. You can follow me on Twitter, and as well as follow the show's Instagram page, The Shukri Wright Show. You can follow that show page as well. So, since the last time I'm going to be talking to you guys before Thanksgiving, I just want to send a very heartfelt and a special happy Thanksgiving to everybody who celebrates and observes. I hope it's filled with nothing but laughter, great food, and great company with the people that you love and cherish so dearly. Until then, I'll talk to you next week. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. Have a great weekend, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving. Yeah.